How Long Gone, live and direct from overcast Glendale, California today. And, you know, we have some sad news to report. My co-host, DJ Them Jeans, is on the DL right now. We got a full report back.
Not like that kind of DL.
Not
like Freak Mill.
Freak Mill, Them Jeans, is on the DL. And I don't mean Atlanta style. I mean, he has injured his...
I'm getting my cheeks clapped at urgent care, not...
Jason had yesterday he had an injury, and he's now... I'm sitting across from him in the podcast studio here. His leg is elevated in a boot. It is his left leg, correct?
Yeah, my left leg.
And the story of how this happened to you is something... Because I said this last night. I was talking to some people about this at the Stone Island event.
Oh, great.
I was like, oh, Jason... I was talking to Dizzy. I was like, Jason got hurt. And they were like, damn, was he going that hard? And I was like, I've worked out with Jason a lot, and I've never seen him squat that heavy. I've just never seen that. But that wasn't the issue. Explain what you were doing.
It was body weight. It was body weight.
Whoa.
Well, I was doing the split squat.
Sure.
But
elevated, one leg elevated or anything, or just a regular split squat?
It was happening right here.
Oh, you were in here.
I was in here, in the pod den. And the irony is, or not irony, but the crazy coincidence, I have the same exact injury that Marc Maron had maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, in the same city, job.
Do you think there's something happening with podcasters having weak feet?
I don't know what it is.
I'm concerned now. I'm going to start doing some more foot exercises.
Mind yourself. It was very good and bad. It was raining, and I was waiting for the rain to stop so I could take the dogs out, because they're restless hounds. They wanted to go out there and pee and poop.
Just like me in the rain. Yeah. A restless hound too.
Chris Black is scratching at the window. Scratching at the window. He can't hold it no more. So I was doing my knees over toes kind of shit.
Classic Them Jeans mobility work.
And I was literally hitting a split squat PR.
You were going so low.
I was breaking barriers of what I could do before.
So your nuts were dragging on the fucking Persian.
Yeah, my legs were very wide. Like, it was like literally the length of this entire Persian rug. My back foot there, front foot there. And then going down super slow, like making a meal of it, like spending 30 seconds in it, the way down.
This is raw dog. No bands are involved.
No bands. Just on a yoga mat, straight up, that's it. And then when I finally get into the position... I lift my arms up in the air. If you're really advanced, you'll have like a kettlebell there and hold it up, and that's when it gets really crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like just putting your arms in the air and kind of like arching that, you have like
people in the DL love to arch their back. So that's a good. I'm glad that you knew to do that.
Yeah, build a house up on that ass. That's a ass state is what the goal is.
Yes,
that you're trying
yes.
to achieve. But I felt my body doing things that I literally felt like I was unlocking, you know, decades of tension and trauma and pain. It was like a very spiritual release. I felt so proud of myself. It was a thing that I've been working at for a few years to try to achieve, like a full, legit, complete, crazy split squat like that with no assistance, no... Mm-hmm. No heel elevated, no platforms, just flat ground, getting it done.
Barefoot.
Yeah. Ass to grass, my little clit dragging on the yoga mat, putting in WURQ, the whole thing. And I kind of pop up and I'm feeling good. And I just put a little weight on the outside of my left foot a little bit. And I hear a pop that sounds like you just cracked your knuckles really loud. And it felt amazing. It was all euphoric. It was so weird. I pop it. I just like kind of I have my weight over my left leg, a little bit off to the side on the outside of the foot. Hear that. And I was like, oh, fuck. And it kind of woke me up. I was like, holy shit, that was crazy. Did I just like unlock some new sick thing? I went out and took the dogs out for a walk. And then about 10 minutes into the walk, I was like, it doesn't feel as euphorically amazing as it did before.
So the euphoria has waned, actually.
The euphoria waned. It wasn't, I wasn't in pain, but I was like,
this doesn't feel right.
Something maybe is wrong here. And I'm just going to slowly kind of hobble back. I was putting my weight on my heel.
Yeah.
And I walked back to the house and I elevated it, put a little frozen mixed berries, 365 frozen mixed berries on the foot, just let it chill. And then I was like, you know what? I remember all of this happening to Marc Maron, and I remember him saying I had a gig. He had to like fly out the next day, and he's like, you just have to go to urgent care. Just do it. If the worst,
the quicker you do it, the better.
Yeah, yeah, just do it. And I went over to NoHo, popped into my good friends at Carbon Health, and got X-rays, and they're like, yeah, fifth metatarsal, you fractured it.
All right, so how much is the urgent care hitting for?
$35. Well, I went there because it's through my insurance.
Okay, so $35, and they hook you up with this nice boot.
$35 for my copay, whatever. Yeah. I get X-rays. I get great service, and I get it's called an air aircast boot.
But there's something you didn't get. And I was stunned.
So yeah, I walk in and the receptionist chica, she was talking to me, blah blah blah.
Oh, there's nothing better than a Latinx receptionist at a urgent care with the figs on.
Yeah, figs on, and she's sitting there, you know, on her phone, and then
long nails. she got the Van Cleef on that her man got her.
we're not cleaving. I walk in the door.
This is West Hollywood. You're right.
In the door. The mask begrudgingly goes on. She sees a cut, put the mask on. But she was cool. I liked her a lot. But she was like, "All right, so, if you know, here's the pharmacy that you're gonna go to. It's this CVS by the Americana. You know, for prescriptions, that's where you're gonna go." And I was like, "Oh, okay, nice to know." And then when they shipped me out there, she was like, "All right, so if you cycle the Tylenol and the Advil every 6 hours, it kind of like one hits and it kind of takes over from the other." And I was like, "Bitch."
It's crazy to look at you, not that you look like a drug user, but look at you and think that line about Tylenol and Advil is going to work.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, know your audience.
That's like when somebody's like, "You got to try this CBD sleep gummy."
Yeah, it's like, bro, just get me out of here. Don't tease me and pretend that something happening that isn't. It's just, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I really wanted to be prescribed pills.
This is a legitimate reason to be prescribed pills. As a person who never took pills for legitimate reasons, I feel for you.
And as people who every time we buy pills, it is cash transactions at full market value. We've never really had the privilege of having our. I just really wanted. I mean, I pay for my healthcare, whatever, $400 or $500 a month. I've never used it once until yesterday.
And now look at this.
So I've spent thousands and thousands.
This is the
of
problem
dollars
with America. Like, our healthcare system is.
Wouldn't it be cool if just you know. Of $80 of that money that I've given you guys just gave me fucking 10 Vikes.
So,
bro, that's all I want.
Yeah, the healthcare system failed you.
Yeah, what else is new? Actually, no, it didn't. It was actually amazing and I really liked it. It was sweet. I was in and out in an hour.
But you're not in like extreme pain. It's more annoying.
I'm not in extreme pain. And apparently they said like the first 48, that's when it's like the most. Like it doesn't feel... right when it happens, it doesn't feel as bad as it will feel like 2 days after it happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
you're fine.
According to Al Wilmot, friend of the show, he said after that it does quickly drop off the pain. The pain level does.
Especially if you start snorting Vicodin, it'll taper right off.
I know.
Well, I'm sorry this happened to you, but I feel like you're in good spirits. And you're going to, and like I told you in there.
Putting on a show for the podcast. I'm depressed.
Before we started is that I think this is a chance for you to finally kind of get a chest going. Like now that you can't do lower body exercises, the bird chest could blossom into more of a turkey if you kind of go crazy.
I think with my work with the iron neck. It'll be more of a pheasant.
Okay, that's or a fine. Goose. That's still an improvement.
Yeah, I'm excited to get my pull up on. Get my
I think you should look into some incline pressing. I think you'll be able to get deeper.
Is that where I actually do incline bench pressing?
Yeah.
Or no, I do decline bench pressing.
Incline bench press.
Incline gets the top titty and then decline gets the under titty, right?
Yeah.
And then regular bench press gets the middle titty.
You ain't got no under or top, so you might want to start at the top and kind of work your way down.
I don't know. Is that the right way to do it? Start at the top and work your way down?
No, you do it.
What is this, a toothpaste tube?
No, let's superset that shit. Let's boom, 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 boom.
Okay.
Or you could do some
thank you cable, I don't know what that means,
some cable flies.
Just do this boom boom.
Cable flies would be good for you. That'd be great.
Look, with my build, with my bird like build, I do all that shit all the time, and nothing really
nothing happens.
No.
Maybe you should think about replacing that Vicodin with creatine then. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know either. I don't know either.
This is a good opportunity for you to.
I eat a lot of boiled chicken.
Experience new workouts. I think that's an opportunity.
And I agree.
It's cool because I see people at the. Honestly, I see people at the gym with a boot on pretty often.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like I see it more often.
What's up, fellow sports injury guy?
Yo, did you hurt yourself working out too?
Pushing it too far once again, my brother.
All right. Well, you're okay. So you're okay.
Ugh. It does hurt.
Yeah, but we had to give you guys the full story just in case that if you felt like Jason was his performance is underwhelming on today's podcast, you would know that he was distracted. But I'm seeing you firing on 110 right now.
I'm okay. I did go to sleep at like 8 p.m. yesterday, yeah. And you know my body overall is almost out of shock. Like when you break a bone, your body like. The inside of it really changes, you know? Yeah. It goes into a weird panic mode.
Yeah.
It's called shock. And then and it does take a couple days for your body to come to grips with the fact that this is happening and this is your new normal, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I'm happy.
But I had a breakdown this morning. A little bit.
In what sense?
Korea World is a new cookbook written by Dookie Hong and friend of the show, Matt Rodbard. The New York Times best-selling authors of the book Koreatown.
Korea World is a vibrant exploration of the evolution of Korean cuisine, both in Korea and in Korea towns across the United States, with more than 75 bold, flavor-packed recipes and stunning photography.
The authors take an inside look at the exciting evolution of Korean food through stories of chefs, home cooks, as well as recipes that are shaping modern Korean cuisine.
The book begins in Seoul, where the barbecue scene is pushing into new territory and where the city's third wave coffee culture is exploding.
The tour continues with late night food adventures in Los Angeles, my hometown, and stops into the kitchens of innovative chefs from New York City to Portland, who are putting modern spins on Korean classics.
Recipes include giant short ribs, whole fried smash rockfish, and pineapple kimchi fried rice.
I'm sad I didn't get to name the foods and you did. Korea World is essential reading for anyone curious about the future of food.
Available wherever books are sold.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Babbel. I fancy myself a trilinguist myself, but it usually only applies when I'm ordering food in restaurants. Mm. So, you know, I'm picking up Babbel so I can have some more conversational Spanish, Vietnamese, and other languages. I feel like everyone knows the food stuff, but, you know, taking an extra step in case you're in a situation when you're traveling, you're in the hills of Oaxaca. You don't have service for your little Google Translate shit. Learn it the old-fashioned way with Babbel.
Do the work. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off, that's more than half, at babbel.com/howlong, spelled BABBEL.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That 50% off discount is great, as I am unfortunately fluent in broken knees. Because I had a whole day planned out yesterday. I was waiting for the rain to stop. I was going to walk the dogs, go to the gym, put on a suit and then go to the beefsteak, Eric Warheim's kind of charity Bacchanal food feast festival thing. I bought tickets a month ago and we're going to go with Al, and you bought a ticket and you didn't go just because you're a nice supporter of whatever charity
I love
was for.
Giving back.
And that was really cool of you
I
to do.
I don't love meat, so it's perfect for me.
You have the budget to be able to do it. It's mine, I spend it, he said.
It's mine, I spend it.
Yeah, they know me at Talk. Let's just say that, bro. Let's just say that.
Let me keep it 100 with you. Talk knows
They
me.
Leave the car parked out front when I go to talk.com.
They leave my virtual car parked up front when I log in.
I don't even have to do the 4-digit. What was I talking about?
So you're saying that you had a whole day planned out.
I had a whole day planned out. And then, but when it comes crashing, when you get the boot and you're like, oh, I can't walk no good, then you have like the fork in the road of like, do I get pissed and angry, or do I do what I normally do, which is just, you know, it is what it is. There's nothing I can do. And this
smoke
is just
a little something, kind of lay back.
This is just what I have to do. And I went home and I made a nice healthy meal. I made some, I steamed some kombucha squash and some power greens with some rice that I made with some chicken stock.
You treated your damn self.
Avocado. I made a tahini housemade.
Housemade. You had a lot of time on your hands. Okay.
Well, I had some cinnamon square cereal for dessert. It was good. Fell asleep. It was nice. And then, but when I woke up and the dogs were just like, we're ready to go for, I mean, I usually walk Bean for like 10,000 steps, like, you know, whatever, three something miles every morning almost. And the dogs did not understand that I was hobbled, and they were just like on my ass to go for a walk. And I like screamed at them and I pounded the wall. Like,
this is unheard of, them jeans behavior. I've never seen you.
I know.
I've never seen you rise above like a 5.
Rise above.
I've never seen you rise above a 5.
I know. Well, that is,
I'm a wall puncher. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not anymore, but you know that about me.
Twisted wall puncher.
I just, wool puncher.
I'm a wool puncher. Yeah, we are two different wolves. Your wolf is a wolf and my wolf is napping somewhere. No, but the way my brain works is I go past the car accident into what's going to happen after that. I'm looking too far ahead and not processing what's happening in front of me. So I've been trying to release my anger and not store it up, and it did feel very good to scream at this poor dog and pound the wall.
Hey, I don't feel bad for the dogs. They were misbehaving. They were causing you more pain.
Yeah, if they were a good dog, they're supposed to sense injury.
Yeah,
usually involving blood. Or something menstrual.
I don't think Margo and Bean, if you like got hit by a car, and I don't think they could save you. I don't think they're those kind of dogs.
They would come up and they would lick. They would lick.
They'd get a little blood for themselves, but they wouldn't call they wouldn't call 911.
They wouldn't take a bite out of my organs as they spill out.
Okay, well, I guess that's a positive.
They'll give it a loving lick, but they can kind of tell that something's going on now, but they were, you know, dogs. Luckily, their brain or their memory lasts 15 minutes, so
that's true.
Margo has already forgotten that I screamed at her.
I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad that we're able to podcast, and, you know, after the crushing blow of SD card failure.
Yeah.
And that happens to us. That's happened to us a handful of times in the history of the show, and it happens to any podcaster, I believe. But
sure.
There are some things we covered that I would like to revisit because they're still fresh top of mind.
Of course, of course.
First and foremost, I want to say that for the Christian denim store that was attacking me for suggesting APC jeans on The Strategist, go pray about it, Chief, because that ain't that. Don't come for me, okay? Don't come for me. First and foremost, I want to get that out of the way.
Okay.
And
okay, that's the mosaic denim.
No, I ain't with. If you name your company after a Bible verse, you can't talk to me. That's just what it is. Like, we ain't. That's worse than municipal. You can't come at me like that. You cannot come at me.
Damn, I forgot about municipal being so religious coded.
It's very religious coded.
Okay. Okay.
We both took time out of our day to kind of listen to the Joe Rogan, Cat Williams, dumbass summit. that they had on Joe's podcast.
We sat our asses down and listened.
And I've had more time to process it. And also I've seen other people responding to it. And it was a full kind of 3.5 hour who can out conspiracy theory the other was the vibe. And it also featured Kat saying he read 60 books a week. Which
he reads 8 books a day,
which is obviously a lie. Like I think that, but like I said to you, I am, because he said he could run the sprint
40 yard dash or whatever,
the 40 yard dash, and then he did it. I do think he's only he's not fully lying. It's more of an exaggeration.
Yeah, I'm sure that when he was a child, he did read a lot.
Yes,
but I think that his intelligence level is not really there where he's able to have, but, and I think he's sort of backpedaling because I think we joked about it maybe 6 months ago because he was doing a different interview and he told somebody that he's read like 300,000 books or, you know, like he was throwing out even more, you know, insane numbers about his reading capabilities. So I think he's brought it back down to planet Earth a little bit, but
it was just amazing to hear these two guys literally. It's like, oh, these are two guys that have the world's eyeballs. 50 million people are going to view this or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they literally just sound like two guys that smoke weed and watch YouTube conspiracy theory videos and believe everything they see.
Which I guess is a large portion of the world.
Which is, that's what my takeaway as well. It's like shocking to me that that's what people want to watch. And then I'm like, oh, that must be what they do too. And that's why they want to watch.
I feel like Kat really is like a spiritual genius. I feel like at some point he learned about things. I feel like he knows. He's on a higher plane, maybe. He's in a different dimension a little bit, but
I think he wants us to think that. But yes, go ahead.
The truth lies somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, of course. I would agree.
And he has smoked himself retarded. And I talked about this on the podcast that was deleted, but I mentioned that drugs are what made him this smart and spiritual and 5D. And drugs have also made him sound not believable.
I don't think he's not smart. I just don't think I would lead with smart when I'm talking about him.
Right.
He's funny and clever. But
he probably has like an intelligence chip on his shoulder and he's been trying to prove
he's smarter than he is, but you can tell by the way he talks that it's like, I'm putting you on to stuff that you've never heard of because I've read all these books.
If I was raised in a dog kennel, I would probably have that same complex as well.
So it just wasn't, it's just a little bit, it's a hard pill to swallow, but it is doing numeros. So
yeah, I really wish that that podcast had editing, and I wish that I was in the room so I could say,
just stop.
Not stop, but like Joe Rogan did a really bad job talking to him, I thought.
But Joe Rogan, that's what Joe Rogan does.
I know.
He just talks and does it because it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
That's the thing. It matters to us, but also I don't care. Like it's not going to turn me off. If he has another fucking weird guest on, I'll listen for 30
minutes.
To me
it's like somebody drops off the Wagyu beef in the FedEx dry ice box and somebody takes it and cooks it in a microwave. It's such a wasted opportunity. You have Kat Williams here, he's wide open for 4 hours.
I actually think that's the thing. Kat had already done the Shannon Sharp. It ain't gonna be better than that. That's the problem.
And he did a bad job too. Nobody knows how to handle this kitty cat.
That's because he doesn't want to be handled.
I saw that video of Shannon Sharp going to his wine signing or his like alcohol brand signing at like a BevMo in Maryland or something, you know. And he gets out of the escalator or whatever, and somebody posted a video and said like, "Who said this is Saucy Santana?"
Yeah.
Because he's got basically like Skims on. He's got like an orange kind of
bro.
Like,
that motherfucker is buff. Like
he's huge.
He wants
huge.
To show off. That's a shelf that you should look for to inspiration.
Not at that cost. But
I mean, you don't have to wear orange Skims, but you know,
like, it was like an olive hunter green set.
Mm-hmm.
There's a grown ass man wearing a set.
That's fucked up. No man should wear a set. That's the first and foremost.
Unless it has logos in play, but this is logo-less.
No sets. Sets.
And he had like a crossbody bag, but it was a lug. I don't know what brand it was.
I love if he pulled up with a Lemaire croissant bag with the Skims on.
No, it was definitely like bootleg orange Goyard crossbody jug kind of. I'm gonna take my Fit pick at the gas station.
No, it's funny because I last night I did the Stone Island. I hosted the Stone Island panel, and this guy Clint from the UK was on it.
Sorry, I missed it. I broke my foot.
It's okay. The what was necessary for entry was a dick and a badge, and you got both. You know what I'm saying? So no, but this guy,
yes, Clint, officer,
who has this brand Courtiez that's like blowing up in the UK. It's like huge. Like he's doing numbers. He like collaborated with Supreme and Nike. He's like doing numbers. Mm-hmm. He's shitting on people, and it's kind of like low key. And he's 26.
Mm-hmm,
okay. Very cool. Like
stars rising,
dripped out. But then I'm like, so I go follow him on Instagram, and then I'm checking it out, and it's like just him flexing at like gas station style photos.
Yeah,
and I'm
that's
like,
cool.
Damn, this is cool.
Yeah.
This guy, this is exactly what this guy should be doing. He's 26. He's rich. He's popping. He's got watches and glasses. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is cool.
It's hard to pull that off where you're that type of person, where you're young, you made a lot of money, and you want to get flashy, and you want to get weird fronts, and you want to buy Evisu jeans that cost $3,000 because it's funny. But also you are intelligent and well-spoken enough to be invited onto a panel discussion. Those two Venn diagrams
cross. He was, I thought he was going to be a little shy, but he was like really, he honestly had some good shit to say. And it's like, of course he does. Like he wouldn't be this successful if he didn't, you know, have something going on. It's mm-hmm. not V-Loan, you know what I mean? So, but it was funny because I went and looked and I was like, damn, this motherfucker is just stunting. That's all he's doing. It's refreshing.
Did it make you reminisce for your time in your 20s?
No, because I wasn't rich or kind of dripping in gold, so it wouldn't have really I don't think my flex would have looked quite as cool.
The C-class was good, but this, it doesn't need to hit grid.
Yeah, the C-class was not, yeah, it was not crazy. It was not crazy.
And I also wish that we got a straight answer out of Kat when Joe Rogan asked him, why do black people smoke menthol cigarettes?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if saying that the black community likes strong flavors is a good enough, like that just seems.
I like that answer a lot.
I mean,
but I don't know. Those are the types of questions where you want to hear, because like they're just one very funny comedian and one not funny comedian.
Joe Rogan's not even a comedian. He's a grappling podcast host. Like, he ain't a comedian. Like, he's
grappling just, with those bands.
Like,
as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all like, no, more power
he's
to
not funny.
Him.
He's
God
not funny.
Bless, but like, he ain't a comedian.
But just those types of premises, when you throw that out to a comedian, you're like, this, I'm going to sit down. I want to see what this funniest, you know, top 50 funniest people on earth is going to say about these kind of funny premises, like Larry David style questions that he would ask Leon. Like he would ask him that question and you're like, we're going to get a really funny answer and it's going to be good. And then instead Cat Williams is just like, yeah, so you're going to get me fucked up. And then like 45 seconds later, you're just like, bro, say a funny joke.
He
served it on a platter for you.
But that's the thing. Rogan doesn't want people to be fun. It's not supposed to be funny. That's the problem. It's the Dave Chappelle syndrome. Everybody wants to be serious and sound smart instead of being funny, because being funny just ain't enough.
Yeah.
It's like he's been funny for so long. He's like, that's easy. It's too easy.
It is hard to make comedians laugh, and you could tell when it's a real laugh or a fake laugh.
Yeah,
when,
for sure.
When you say something super funny and the host goes,
I know. I saw a lot of people I know. A lot of people I know hit that Shane Gillis show at Radio City last night, but it was on Close Friends. a lot of people posting that they're going to see Shane
at Radio City with the big sunglasses on. Radio City. Yeah.
It's me going to see Ryan Adams alone with a mustache and a hat and some Ray-Bans.
I got my shiesty on. My Kangol.
I was like,
My Chloe glasses.
I'm not exaggerating. I swear to God, I saw like six or seven people, and more than half of them, it was close friends.
Yeah, I still haven't watched his SNL because I watched too many of the clips, and now it's kind of ruined for me.
I watched a little Sydney Sweeney this morning, and they were like, this episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Booking.com. Booking.yeah. From cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a 5-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out Booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding, like a dog. You know, you have a great head of hair, Jason. Can you speak on this?
Yeah, you hear this? That's my thick Nutrafol bottle shaking in there. You open up the lid, a little ASMR. It says, keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
It says that on the inside of the lid. Motivational. The pills look like a classic turmeric supplement. So it'll be familiar going down your mouth, but it doesn't have that sting of turmeric.
Mm.
What it does have is the sting of visibly thicker, healthier hair.
Let's go. Yeah. So if you have any hair thinning, shedding, or any other hair issues, Nutrafol has a proactive approach. And it has been known to improve hair growth, decrease shedding, add visible thickness. And it's a clinically effective formula. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off the first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG. Because I saw an article yesterday, which is just so loser behavior, but like, are they going to give her the hot person treatment? And it's like, of course they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her fucking...
They're not going to give her the funny person treatment.
No, it's like, that's like, if you have Jacob Elordi, if you have Sydney Sweeney, like, they're hot. That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, they did do a sketch where she plays a Hooters waitress who makes more money than all of her coworkers. But like...
Spoiler.
That seems reasonable to me.
He's like, I love this job.
She also made a big tits joke in the monologue, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean...
I don't even think that's low-hanging fruit. I think that's what she
should do. You get Martin Short on there. You put him in funny costumes and he does his thing, which is be very, very funny.
Yeah, like I haven't watched much of it, but it wasn't bad. You know what I mean? She's a professional.
No, she's an actress.
I didn't know she was from Spokane, which is...
Is that... She's spiraling hearing that.
No, I just was surprised. She's like, yeah, I'm the border from Idaho and Washington. I was like, what?
Damn, Nirvana country up there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tune in probably tonight to see if the body is tea.
The body is tea. I mean,
back in my day, body tea.
Casey Musgraves. Casey Musgraves did the sleepy set. You know, she did a couple of mids.
Really?
I'm just.
Is that because she ain't got no single?
She ain't got no single. It's not even bad. It's much better than the last record where she tried to collaborate with Troye Sivan.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not. It does not hit.
Yeah,
it doesn't hit, and it's a bummer because I know you can tell she's trying to return to form.
I think one of the songs I heard, and it was like,
it's not bad.
It was okay. It was a step in the right direction.
Yes.
Versus another regression.
But she had like the 15-piece band on stage too, so it was like, what are you guys doing?
Come on, y'all.
When there's four guitar players or three guitar, even three, it's like, come on,
mm-hmm.
One guy can't be doing much. Like, one guy's playing the chords, one guy's playing the solos. That's how it works. What's the third guy doing?
He's getting a check from the record label, I guess.
I mean, I guess sometimes you just want it to sound big, so you're doubling everything, you know? But I'm just always like, I know you're paying this guy a lot of money to be on TV.
Yeah, whenever I see that, I'm like, you're just not a real band. That's the difference between an artist and a band. When you watch Nirvana play on SNL with three guys, one instrument total.
But
it sounds 10 times
as big. But the thing about this is all these guys are insane shredders.
Of course.
But they're neutered by the material. So they're just strumming along. You know what I mean? They're like, I'm getting paid $1,500 to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm strumming along.
Plus.
I'm flying Comfort Plus back to Nashville. Life is good.
I asked for a per diem. They said not today.
Get a per diem in New York. It's expensive.
Mama knows I tried. It is expensive.
Mama tried.
Mama tried to get $20 a day petty cash for my juice press.
I had to hit the Sbarro near the studio.
Y'all cigarettes cost more than my per diem.
I guess I'm not going to smoke this week then. Guess I'm not going to smoke.
And I just remembered when we didn't post the episode last episode, which, sorry about it. Some guy sent me a DM just simply asking, what did y'all talk about?
I know.
Like, it wasn't good. Like,
that's funny as fuck. to say what y'all talk about.
Asking for a description of what we spoke about.
Like, I know the file is corrupt, but is there a transcript I could look at or anything? Like,
a lot of people wanted it. It made me, it was sweet. It made me feel wanted and loved during my time of pain and sadness when everyone was like, hey, I just checking on you, making sure you're okay. I didn't hear it, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, telling them what happened, and they're like, oh, well, what was it, a solo or an interview? And it was like a solo, and they're like, oh, okay, well, that's kind of good, but those are my favorites.
I'm glad, it's a bummer. I'm sad I missed that. About it and I didn't, but I didn't hear a single peep from one person, which also makes me feel good and loved.
Yeah, well, you could see who's walking who out there. You've trained them, and I've been trained.
I
master and servant.
No, for sure. We also, we had a big week, because we were out every night getting it in.
Yeah, we got to start at the start. Where
do we start? We started at, did we start at Sal's and then the Serpentine?
Serpentine. Well, yeah, we got back from Mexico. We already talked about that. We had Kyle Kinane on the podcast. He was nice, kind of a dick. It was okay. Also, Rory Scovel, he's a comedian. He just has a new special out on Max.
Yeah, I tried to tap in last night. I'll give it another shot.
You didn't like it?
I mean, it's okay.
I liked it. I thought it was
I'm shocked was that you liked it.
Really?
Shocked. Yeah. That's not really your kind of shit.
I don't know. I liked
it. No, I mean, it's cool that you liked it.
I paid attention to him.
I don't know who he is, though.
I was never like a...
Is he big?
Big Stan. He's medium-sized. But you could tell he spent a lot of time crafting this hour. There's a whole overarching theme. The beginning connects with the ending. If you pay attention to it all... It gets dark, it breaks the fourth wall. There is some stuff that I'm not into, but overall, the bar is low for comedic specials going on right now. I went and got dressed at Stone Island at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel, where I met a girl who works there who is a fan of the pod, and I also met a young lady named Icy, and I asked her, how do you spell that? And she said, I see why. And I said, no further questions. I see.
You're like, no shit. All right. Well, I'm going to keep it moving. Well,
I didn't ask your Kiki name. What's your... You can't say that.
Bro, that's really funny. That's really, really funny.
I'm Icy. Yeah, I have a nice... I have a long raincoat, but not a trench.
I have a long micro twill navy 3XL. So it's like...
Three?
Yeah. Cause
how do they have that? Because they ran out of, like, all the regular people sizes?
It feels, it's like, because I tried on extra large in one of the jackets, and it just felt like the length of it and the size of it felt weird. Like, if you're going to have something longer, it needs to be bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
It was a tweener.
Yeah.
A tweener hemline.
But I was with these guys last night on the pant, you know, they're all fucking, Liam McRae's got on some Kevlar fucking vest. Diz's got on white cargos. Like, Clint's has on fucking wild shit. It's just like, everybody looks wild, and I'm like... Yeah, I'm wearing a navy jacket.
Those are all guys that can pull
off.
They
can do it. No, 100%.
Because they wear it all the time and it works.
No, it looks very cool.
I've seen DZA wear some like stone white pants, and I'm like, I could never pull that off.
Not me.
I would spill mustard on those in 11 seconds.
They hook up real nice with the Marlins fitted. You know what I mean?
That's good. went to Stir Crazy with friend of the show, Ben Edgar.
Oh, yeah.
Building with Harley.
When he, yeah, I told him. I saw it. I was like, bro, you're New Canaan curious. Talking about how he wants to move to Connecticut. And I'm just like, bro, you can't aspire to be more white and rich. Like, you know, but he said that's what he wants to do. So God bless him.
I've never been to Connecticut, so I don't know what goes on over there.
I mean, it's just a very high net worth community,
mm-hmm.
because it is 45 minutes from New York. So you can drive your Porsche in to the office every day.
So, and the idea is you go there and everyone has a giant gated,
beautiful
house, yeah. front yard, yeah. backyard.
Yeah.
You hate your family. Your it's family kind of hates like you.
A Brentwood,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Where it's like close. But it feels different. I've only been a couple times.
It seems ideal.
For
if
sure.
If you ask me.
That's ideal for you. You're that kind of guy. I have no interest in that.
Yeah, you're a city girl.
I'm not going to drive a car.
Well, you know, the dogs and the school districts.
Oh, yeah. When you start talking about school districts, I'm out.
I know.
You went to stir crazy and watch Ben eat a sausage.
Ben, a lot of people say stir crazy. They're their biggest gripe. You can't get a full meal there. It's more of an aperitivo, which is user error, not stir crazy's error. But Ben was,
bro. I talked about it.
This is perfect.
I talked to him about it.
This is how I eat.
He brought it up again. He's like, it's perfect. It's perfect. I'm like, bro, you love small plates. He's like, I love small plates.
I need a small plate with thinly sliced proteins.
Yeah.
Arranged simply.
Just simple arrangements.
No weird sauces. If there's no sauce, that's preferred.
Yeah, of course.
But I was happy to see that. And then we went to Sal's. Another great meal at Sal's Provincetown.
I didn't realize it was in the old Il Piccolino, and it makes it
Sal's Place
cooler, but it was so good. I loved it. I loved it. Everybody there is gay except us.
Mm-hmm.
The maitre d' owner is a star. She's cash only.
She's a star.
You got a call to make a reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And the menu has no dumb, fussy shit on it.
Yeah, it's a regular menu. Just get some, you know, they split the portions for you.
Mm.
If you just go on a date and you get the Caesar, they just bring you two smaller
grill
bowls
in the
of
alley
Caesars.
Style. Grill in the Alley does that.
Grill in the Alley yeah. style. And it's nice to have that happen without asking. It just shows up and you're like, oh, it's nice. The drinks come out very quickly. The wines are good. It's great. Fantastic. Their pastas are nice too.
So we went to this Serpentine party at a private residence, and
mm-hmm. easy to get in, not easy to get
one
out.
One of the weirdest parties I've ever been to, but the house had a Terrell room, and mm-hmm.
James,
it was
just not Owens.
It was right around the corner.
Terrell room, that's the dog kennel.
Right around the corner from their cheese room, which was quite fragrant, I have to say. It was a full room with a giant table with 20 different varieties of cheese.
Yeah, and for a party like that, the gay Olympics, the elite of the elite, they're not eating cheese at 9 p.m.
I don't think so either.
What is that for the staff?
I think it was more of a display.
On the and as you walked in, there was a caviar bar. That's what they're gonna do.
Yeah, that's nice.
They're gonna snag me a Bellini.
But the big highlight of the night was Eagle Eye Chris spotting Lana Del Rey by the DJ booth, telling
with
Jason
her new haircut.
Lana Del Rey is there, and him turning around and going, "Wait, that is her."
Yeah,
I'm like, "Yeah,
had
bro.
Me fucked up. I thought I was the biggest celeb there, but wrong."
Once again, wrong. But she looked good.
She did look good. I did not ask what if we kissed at all, but mm-hmm. I overheard her do the most Lana Del Rey thing Lana Del Rey can do at a party or a bar, which is go up, saddle up at the bar with, you know, her handler friends or whatever, and then politely and quietly order a Shirley Temple while everyone's having, you know, espresso martinis and yeah. tequila mezcal shots. And
it's hot.
It was like, could you order a more Lana Del Rey yeah, beverage
it's
than a Shirley
cool.
Temple?
I mean, I don't know.
He probably has an EP called Shirley Temple.
I feel like people were really having to stop themselves from talking to her. I feel like every gay guy in there was like gritting his teeth and sweating to not approach her.
Yeah, it was like the Pope was in the building.
Yeah,
or
it was really
like
funny.
That.
And it wasn't, I don't know. I really wonder why she was there, but God bless.
I think she was, you know, a favor. She's been very thoughtful lately. Like ex-friend of the show, or not ex-friend of the show, previous guest of How Long Gone, current friend, Casey Hill, she posted her album.
Yeah.
Which is very like a really sweet, nice thing to do. I think she's giving back. She's getting her karma dropping soon.
Unfortunately, Instagram did ban the cover because it's a picture of Casey's ass.
And, oh, damn.
But I think she's found a workaround.
That's a damn shame.
It's a damn shame.
Some of the greatest albums have ass on them.
But it's also like a side profile. It's not like it's any way profane.
It's not showing hole.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wait.
It's not like one of Diddy's pics on the...
You brought up hole.
Uh-huh.
This morning at Equinox, a guy gets on the treadmill next to me wearing a pair of a white t-shirt, crop top that said he, him, hole. And I was stunned.
It was
West Hollywood. This is mid city. Like, tone it down. He, him, hole.
He,
on
him,
the crop
hole.
Top.
Was hole spelled with a W or no?
Definitely not. Just a classic HOL Courtney Love style.
Courtney Love style from the Queen's Dictionary.
But I think he knew that I clocked it. I think a lot of people, like,
you don't wear a shirt like that and not look around frantically to see who's noticing
it. He was next to me on the treadmill, and he was taking selfies the whole time, of course, and shit. And I was just like, this guy, but unfortunately, he was kind of buff.
Sure.
You know, like all gay guys. But it was I was like, damn, this is, where do we draw the line? The shirts are getting too extreme.
Just shirts in general or gay
shirts? Yeah, shirts in general. Like, what statement are we trying to make? Like, I can look at you and I can tell that you're gay. You don't need to tell me that your hole is on offer. The crop top with the polo boxers and the white shorts poking out kind of lets me know what you're into. I don't know if we need the profane shirt.
We could do a little more subtlety.
It was just,
Dial it back a little bit.
I was honestly like, I feel like this is insane. I feel like I was insane because I was like looking around. Nobody else was noticing.
But, you know, if this he, him, hole is really about his shit like that, then I think he needs to attract a certain type of person.
True.
Where, like, I need somebody so whatever that, like, whoever this shirt legitimately attracts, I'm not talking about like takes a funny photo and has a giggle about it, but someone's like, oh, like I'm gonna fuck you,
yeah,
in the way that that you would like to be fucked. Maybe he needs to do that.
Look,
it's like when you're going fishing,
a strong word,
when you're going fishing, the only way to catch a big fish is with some big bait, you know what I mean?
Okay, well, he was a little guy, but I see the bait was more the shirt.
Metaphorical bait.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Metaphorical
okay.
bait.
But I was blown away. I see something new every day. And it you know, I just, this is why I go out in public.
Did you see him in the locker?
No.
You don't really tangle in the locker, do you?
I'm in and out of that locker room faster than, I mean, I'm pro locker because the trend of people carrying a bag around in their jacket on the floor of the gym is insane to me.
Yeah, it's awful.
But it's very common.
Sometimes at Equinox, there'll be an older gal, and she will have her like Chanel handbag. She just carries it around from place to place, like on the ground next to the treadmill.
Like, you know, this shit locks. Like, no one's going to steal your shit. Like, it's going to be all right.
Or leave the $8,000 bag at home when you go to the gym.
In the car. You know, it's in a
maybe. I mean, like when I go to the gym, I don't like have my watch with me or like jewelry or anything like that.
That's because you ain't really dripping like that. That's the problem.
It's true. But it's like I wouldn't be able to enjoy my workout wondering if someone is going to steal my expensive items from the locker room.
Yeah, that's true.
I had a pair of shoes stolen from the locker room, not my locker. It was just a pair of Crocs that I had underneath the bench, and somebody stole them.
I hate when people leave the shoes under the bench. It's disgusting.
I suppose I deserve it.
You deserve, yeah. I mean, somebody stealing a size 17 pair of Crocs is insane.
They must
have done it to spite you. There's no way they were going to wear them.
Yeah, it was somebody. It was one of my gym enemies, of course.
Gymnemies?
My gym enemies. Yeah, it was definitely one of my enemies. So now, now I need to adjust to my new life with a handicap, bro. It's reminding me of when I had when I broke my ankle.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. This has kind of happened to you before.
But that was
more extreme.
That was way more extreme. I had to wear a full leg cast
Was that more painful?
Toe to taint. Much more painful. Yeah. Much more painful. But I twisted my ankle and it like fucked a lot of things up inside of there, which is why I had to have the full leg cast.
Oh, I see.
But that's when I got real drugs.
Yeah, I remember that.
I had an IV drip in my foot. IV drip like right.
Oh, hell yeah.
In my foot.
Listen, we're going right to the source.
With a Dilaudid bag.
Woo! Oh, baby.
Oh. That's a different kind of high.
And that was like a, honestly, dude, I think that was, because that was long enough ago, it was kind of pre like oxy issues in America.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And I feel like they were looser with it.
They were looser with it. And also I needed it because they had to reset
a fracture. It's like actually gnarly.
So it was one of those situations where they get you so high, like he could hit me in the head with a baseball bat and I would be going like,
luckily at this time of your life, you didn't have a lot of responsibilities or things going on. So it was kind of like a nice reset.
I had a couple DJ sets I had to push.
Of course. Look, I'm not saying you had nothing going on. I'm just saying you have a lot.
That was, and it felt like
if that happened to you today, it would be a real problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, this is fine. Like,
I couldn't drive.
Yeah, you can still do all your shit. Can you drive?
Yeah, I can drive.
Because it's your other foot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, the first thing the nurse said, when the nurse came back from looking at the x-ray, she goes, "You drive a stick?" And I was like, "Nope." And she's like, "All right, good."
Well, it wouldn't work for me as a left-footed gentleman. But
left-footed. But yeah, I remember that being a true grand reset. I feel like I turned into a Rick Rubin style Zen master during that phase because I had nothing else going on. And
yeah.
I just never left my house for like 3 months.
No, it's gnarly. I went to Sunset Tower with Kevin Morby yesterday because he's in town.
Oh, nice.
We had lunch and he was like, "Did you see who's over there?" And I'm like, "Who?" And it was the comedian guy that people really like, Maniscalco. What's his name?
Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah, yeah. And Morby was like, "Bro, I'm in a group chat.
You see this guy?
I'm in a group chat with these guys who like love him. We talk about him all the time. And I almost asked him for the flick, but because it would have lit the chat on fire.
You can't do that at the tower."
No, and he knew. He resisted. But I was like, I didn't know people liked that guy that much. Like people I know.
Right, 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 right. I agree.
I mean, he's funny.
No shots to Kevin.
No shots to Kevin and his taste in humor. But I was just, he loves this show. So hopefully it's not a shot. But I was just like, damn, I didn't know people. Like, I didn't know, like, my peers and friends were into that. I thought it was, like, for someone else.
You like him in the bookie show, right?
Yeah, and that's his show. Like, that's, like, his... I mean, he got that show because he's so big as a stand-up. I'm sure he's been trying to have a show for fucking 20 years. No one cared.
Yeah, he has a movie that's on Delta, or was on Delta.
But, I liked Bookie. I thought Bookie's was good,
Bookie
pretty
bad.
Good.
Bookie ain't bad.
No.
Yeah, he's a big deal, man. People go crazy for
him. But there's just a certain level.
But I know what you mean. There's always, like, out of the 100 friends I have, there's like one guy from high school who's probably like obsessed with him.
But I guess it's just that these guys that are that, I just feel like there's a weird thing now with comedy where you can be really fucking big and like people, it's with music too. It's all because of like algorithms and shit.
And you can still walk through the mall and nobody will.
Nobody know. Like, yeah, like I wouldn't know that guy could sell out MSG. Like, he's doing like two nights at Barclays. Like, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I literally wouldn't know that until I researched, like, looked into it.
But if he walked around the Americana, there's a 50-50 chance not a single person will say anything to him.
Yeah. It's cool. I mean, it's a good place to be. But with music, it happens a lot. Like, Kevin and I were actually talking about it, and it would just be like, he'd mention some band that sold out Red Rocks. Like, who?
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah,
I didn't know either until I saw that they sold
out
Red Rocks.
You don't like Pretty Lights?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
When I was in Mexico, I saw a guy, old guy, wearing a Pretty Lights shirt and a Pretty Lights corduroy cap.
Whoa.
I think he may have come from Tulum. Super fan.
Wow.
That's dark. But yeah, that reminds me of when we were being interviewed a long time ago, and I said the level of fame that I'd like to have is Louis C.K. Not trying to be offensive or you know, cheeky or anything like that, but look, just literally, like, he can sell out Madison Square Garden, millions and millions and millions of dollars, does whatever he wants, but if he walks around the airport, maybe one person will say something.
I think
he can go to a restaurant
before
he can walk around
got
town.
In trouble.
Yeah,
that maybe. Was even more. I feel like people know him more now because of scandal than comedy. Like,
quite possibly, but I.
But they're not going to approach and be like, "You're a bad guy."
Something about that where you're able to, yeah, the approachability is different. But like, there's not a lot of people who are famous enough to host SNL, maybe multiple times, probably
for sure,
and can still kind of just like walk around, and someone's like, "Oh, there's," you know, yeah, maybe someone will say, "There's that guy,"
but no one's approaching him.
No, no one's approaching Woody Allen. Is that? Do you think that's happening?
Oh, people are approaching Woody Allen.
I was thinking a couple days ago about Woody Allen on that movie on Annie Hall, I think, when he's eating at the vegan restaurant, yeah, on the Sunset Strip, and you know, that was so long ago, and he's talking about all this bullshit and this liberal mush that he's eating, hippie shit, and like thinking about him now, I'm like, he's like this old guy who like reads books and watches films and listens to jazz, but he also has like an iPhone and a computer. What does Woody Allen look at online? Like, what does he do? You know what I mean? Like, you and I do the same thing online. We look on Twitter. You know, I'll check the news. I'll read some articles and stuff.
I bet he definitely watches films on Blu-ray. Like, he's definitely
When he's on his phone in the back of a car and he's
think he does that.
Dicking around on the web. No, you don't think he does that?
No. I don't think guys like that do that. I think they read the newspaper that gets delivered to their house. They read books. Yeah. They read scripts. They have a phone to make calls.
But we know he's a pervert. Do they use the internet to enjoy pornography?
There's no
pornography.
Place better to be a pervert than online. I think
I just like the idea of imagining Woody Allen with his laptop, like at a desk, you know, typing one with the two index fingers. He like, what is he searching for to find his pornography?
He might even be at the level where he's just dictating to an assistant. Like, that's honestly what people do. Like, I'm laying on a couch and talking.
Pull up Pornhub, please.
I meant more.
That's a bad one. I can't
work
Woody.
Work, but yes, maybe also
at some point he's gonna look at porn on the internet, or he's gonna read an article, and is he looking at like sports scores?
I honestly think that there's a generation of people that are like, I have this phone only for phone calls.
Does he subscribe to YouTube?
No,
creators?
Definitely not. No, no, no. Because those guys hate that stuff. Like, that's like their enemy.
Yeah, that's true.
That's their enemy. I guarantee you, he might not even have a phone. It might be an assistant. Damn. That uses, you know what I mean, that like uses the phone for
yeah
him.
Yeah, I see that, because when we saw Lorne, he had two phones, one iPhone and then one flip phone.
The iPhone, I feel like you just, somebody in your life tells you have to have it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay,
well, one for texting, one for calls, probably.
Yeah, I mean I used to be like that with a Razor and a Sidekick, but you know.
Did you really?
Yeah,
well then you and Lorne are on the same program, just different decades.
Oh man, when I had the Sidekick and the Razor, I was bawling.
What color was the Razor?
Silver. Just silver Razor.
Stock silver.
Stock silver. You know, I'm a stock guy. Stock silver. Mm-hmm. Stock mm-hmm. Sidekick. No, I didn't have like the Dwayne Wade Sidekick. Like, I had the OG regular.
No bedazzling whatsoever.
No Paris Hilton bedazzling. No. And yeah, I would text and email on the Sidekick, and I would take phone calls and make phone calls on the Razor.
Different numbers.
Oh yeah.
And you had the Sidekick email address.
And then I had I went into a phase where I also did that with a BlackBerry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you can have the Messenger.
Yeah, because I loved the BlackBerry, but I didn't like making calls on it, so I kept it.
Yeah, it was weird. It felt like holding a rock up to your head.
I mean, now
I
would obviously love to have that.
But
back.
Now you have your Apple big boy headphones. Did you get them engraved?
No, because I just bought them at the store. I did the thing, actually, that I'd never done before. I ordered them online and picked them up at the store, like it's COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't want to talk to anyone at an Apple store at the Grove.
Sure.
But I broke, because I was, all that traveling I've been doing, I was watching TV. I would like download things to watch on my phone. And I hadn't used over-ear noise-canceling headphones in like years.
Mm-hmm.
And there was
used to fly with Bose back in the day.
But they sent me a Beats pair. Mm-hmm. And I swore I wouldn't wear them out of the house. And then I took them on the plane. I was like, this is pretty fucking nice.
Mm-hmm.
Then I lost them somewhere on the journey. And so on the way back from Mexico, I had to use my first-gen AirPods, right, the only ones that work for me. And I
noise canceling.
I couldn't hear. Like, I couldn't hear full volume. Like, the plane is that loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I didn't really process that. So as soon as I got back to LA, I was like, all right, it's time. I'm going fucking thought mode. I'm copying the hot girl.
You got the orange ones? What color?
Just the classic dark gray.
Dark gray.
But they,
like my MacBook.
They are unfortunately incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and also they do this thing, which is, I don't know why mine don't do this. Maybe yours do, but it seamlessly switches between your phone and your computer without having to, like...
I wouldn't say mine is seamless, but it's pretty good.
I think, so it's like, I didn't know that. So I like did it once. I was like, oh shit, that's cool. That's nice. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to use them on the flight back to New York, my blue eye tomorrow back to New York, you know? I'll be listening to some Brian Eno while I work on some of my little projects.
Is that right?
Oh, music for airports on the plane all day.
I didn't know this about you.
I also have a Apple Music like sunrise set list that's like Air and shit like that. It's quite good that I also listen to.
Maybe a Bon Iver song in there.
But the music
sun coming up over the mountains.
Yeah, but music for airports, unfortunately, I've listened to it so much that I like kind of like I can't explain it. It makes me feel like I'm falling asleep no matter what. Because there's been so many times where I've been in and out of sleep on a plane, like kind of uncomfortable.
And that has been
playing. So like that's...
So just you're always in and out of consciousness while that is playing.
So sometimes, so sometimes when I'm listening to it, trying to do something, it like...
Hypnotize your ass.
It throws me off. Yeah, exactly.
Damn, okay. Well, it is a great album that even non-ambient heads like you enjoy. That's good to know.
Yeah, great album. Classique.
All right, y'all. Thank you for potting with us. We hope you have a blessed March. Sorry for missing the last one. Won't happen again.
Have a blessed March. And if you have any pills for Jason, just hit his P.O. box. Send those over.
Because
if they make your stomach hurt or, you know, you were going to flush them.
Baby need Vicky.
Don't do that. Just send them to Jason's P.O. box.
Flush them to Glendale.
Yeah, flush them all the way down to Glendale. Thank you guys for listening. HowLongGone.com is the website. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.